Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and I am so excited to be here for our seventh season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it, and it was one of the longest-running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is always an honor and privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share with us. And I'm super pumped about my guest here with me today. Julia Linden, she, her, is an LA-based comedian. She is currently a writer on Apple TV's Ted Lasso. Her recent writing credits include Netflix's Survival of the Thickest and Peacock's In the Know. Prior to all that, she worked on the production team of Saturday Night Live, Detroiters, and The Daily Show. Julia, welcome.
Hey, Dubs. Thank you for having me. I've been a fan since season one.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Just Sharon, I was going through the library today,
Yeah.
and very clear memories of of it being 2019, 2020. And diving in to every comedian I loved who was sharing their story on there. So it does really feel like many years later, a real exciting honor to be on the pod.
Wow, that's so nice. Thanks for sharing that.
And that's how I learned about you, was from the podcast. And then it turned out I had friends from my summer camp world who knew you and loved you and wanted to connect me with you. And I said, I know Dubs. I love their podcast.
So I knew that the Rothsteins connected us, but I didn't realize the order of operations.
Yeah,
that's
I knew
like,
about you way before. I was like, yeah, I know that person.
oh my God, I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So then we had a Zoom, and then I think it was during the pandemic. I mean,
yeah, at least in those
right?
weird years of 21, 22 or something like that.
Yeah. And then time flies and is weird, but we had talked about you coming on the pod. And so here we are.
Welcome
Gorgeous.
To us.
Welcome
and
to
listeners.
Us. Yes. Okay. So really quick, my computer just turned changed to dark night mode or whatever.
Yep.
And it's not subtle. It just went black. Wild times.
Is this affecting our recording?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Just my psyche.
Just
and
to
like,
share. Okay, just your
yeah,
psyche.
just
I was
sharing.
And are we starting over? And it's
No.
Okay, then I can just be like, that's hard for you. I'm so sorry that's happening for you. But for us, we're still rolling with this record.
We're still rolling. We're still cool.
Okay, phew.
Okay, so, well, how are you? I mean,
Yeah, I'm really good. Yeah, it's the fall of 2025. The world is really bad. And I'm doing a lot of, specific things for me so that I can say I'm good right now. And I'm doing pretty well. We just finished writing this new season of Ted Lasso, and it was a really, really great experience. They're shooting it right now in London. So I have some time this fall where I just moved into a new place with my partner, and we're enjoying settling in, and I'm working and writing some projects that I've been hoping to work on for a while. So life is good at the moment.
That's great. Well, congrats on your new place.
Thank you. It's a lovely spot, a lot of room. I like having some space. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. All right, well, we'll get into Ted Lasso
Okay.
later.
How are you?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Similar vibes. It's like my heart is consistently and constantly breaking because this world is so terrible. And I too am doing things to keep myself above water to feel okay, to feel joy, to, you
Yeah.
know. So yeah, it's a weird, I almost feel like guilty saying I'm okay,
Yeah.
but also am like terrified every day of what new legislation is going to get passed, you know, specifically targeting trans people or,
Absolutely.
you know, all the other horrific things that don't directly impact me but impact my community. So, bleh, what kinds of things are you doing for yourself?
Ooh, let's see. Stretching.
Yes, stretching is so
Stretching.
good.
Stretching. And it happens every day, multiple times during the day. It feels like the body is asking for that. So I'm definitely doing that, and I'm cooking, and I'm writing, and those things feel nourishing.
I love that.
Ooh, 60-year-old over here.
I mean, I stretch and I meditate and
Yep.
I like buy myself a coffee every day, which is like, I know I could save so much money, but like, I don't care. I need to
Yeah,
buy
if you love
coffee.
it. Yeah. Yeah, I've had my phases and that was the majority of my life, but now I'm very happy with I'm a drip coffee every day kind of gal, and I make it at home. And I don't talk about that enough.
Well,
Yeah.
the
I don't tell
my
people enough how amazing that is.
it's amazing to have access to like the things that we love, and like my favorite is when it's like, well, you probably don't get this in LA, but in New York, when it's like really snowy out or just really, really cold, and it's like, I'm gonna make coffee and I don't have to leave my apartment and just cuddle up, and it's like a privilege and amazing.
Yeah, that is an LA thing. Just like wake up early, and there are some very pretty kind of California style trees around where I live. And so just sometimes I'll just walk out onto the street, no intention to walk anywhere, but just stand on the edge of the sidewalk with my coffee, looking out, like surveying things, and that feels powerful.
That is. I'm about to do something that is so annoying, but I'm gonna do it. I feel like you could write that into something. Like, I think that that's like such a cool ritual to be like, you know, to like step out onto the curb and like survey the land and then go back inside.
Yeah, it's like, well, where are you going? You're going to walk? You doing the trash? Like, no, I just wanted to step outside my home and like be on the street. And now I'll step back in. Yeah, you know.
It's annoying because I used to do stand up and stuff, and people would always be like, you should put that in your
Yeah, put
skit.
that in. Yeah,
Put that in. And it's like,
exactly.
I know how annoying it is, but also we've come full circle.
Yeah, I'll take anything. I need ideas anywhere.
Okay, great. Okay, so we all have multiple coming out stories and multiple coming into self stories. And so I would love to hear one of those stories that you'd like to share.
Yeah, I would love to share one. So I was thinking about this and how it's so true. We have a lot of ways. But one that feels close to my heart is technically the first person I ever came out to, like that first interaction. And so many other things happened over other times that I almost sometimes forget this how big this was. But and it's all about like friendship and gay magnetism, which is one of my favorite words I learned a couple years ago. Or for the listeners, if you don't know, soon you'll know. But basically, like when people aren't out but they are gay, there have been friends, like so many like people's childhood friends. They're like, oh my God, we both were. And you realize later in life, and there's just something there that it happens. But yeah, so my story takes place in St. Louis, Missouri, in the fall of 2012. And I was a senior in college at WashU and was in a sorority in Kappa Kappa Gamma. We were the blonde, pearl, southern girls. I was a Jew from New York. I had the best time. I thought this was so fun, and kind of silly, and just enjoyed myself, and I ended up in my senior year. And the way it worked in the sorority was you had a pledge mom when you joined, and then eventually your next year you had like a pledge daughter. And I was lucky enough to be the mom to this really, really cool girl. And we'd always been close. We'd always gotten along really well. And been pals, and I had a boyfriend in a fraternity who was lovely for many years in college. And basically I just ended our relationship and was pretty confused and lost as to like why I did or what was next and all the things in life. And within those first couple months, I realized, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I had my first like crush after the relationship, and it was on a girl. And I was like very confused and shocked and a little scared, but kind of only admitted it to myself and then like did everything to kind of quiet it down inside. And so as the months of that semester went on, and I just was kind of feeling a little weird and lonely, one night I was at a bar with a bunch of friends, a bunch of the Kappa girls, and I ended up looking over to the bar at one point and I saw my lovely pledge baby. And I saw her at the bar and she was making out with another girl who I didn't really know, but I knew there were rumors in the world that she was bi. And it was 2012. It was like a very straight heterosexual sorority fraternity type of environment. So that was kind of like wild. So I saw this and I went, oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't know what I think. I don't think I had any reaction. Oh, actually, I think it was just like watching, being like, my brain is not computing or something. And then at the end of the night, I got a text from her saying, we should talk tomorrow because she saw that I saw or something. So it turns out she comes over to my apartment, and it turns out that in her head, she felt like the whole, she was nervous that I was gonna be weird about it, was gonna judge her, was gonna not understand or what was going on or something. And the entire day, I was like eager for her to come over because one, I wanted to tell her, that's awesome. Good for you. Whatever, like all the things. I love you in all the forms. And the other thing was, oh my God, I finally know someone else in my life who I can kind of share my stuff with. So it was almost selfish of like, please come over here, not so you can tell me everything, but so I can dump all this stuff on you. So she came over and we had one of the best nights of her kind of telling me that this was something that, you know, I now just got a glimpse of, but has been, you know, something she's been is part of her and will be part of her and all this. And I just was like, I'm so happy that there's someone so close to me who I love so much, who I can obviously support, but she, you know, in this exact moment of sharing this, I'm now asking her to be my person to kind of share myself with. And I was nowhere near kind of where she was at. I was she was truly the first person I was like, and I also think I might be like that. Like, wasn't using the words, was so afraid of all the things. Because I really had no gay friends, or people in my life who were out. So that's where it all started. And then she became this amazing, the roles almost switched where like she became like a mentor to me, even though I had been set up and like assigned for the years to be this kind of mentor to her, just given our the like mother-daughter weird college dynamic of the sorority. And then this other beautiful layer happened, which was she had a pledged daughter right below her, so my grandbaby. And what happened was once we both were kind of out to each other, we were like, what do you think about? And then we both were like, well, when we all take our little group photos, she does like to wear those backward hats, and we all do have matching Nike kicks. So we were like, if we had to bet, we'll say give it time. Maybe it will happen. She this was not the case, and so we said, "Ah, I guess not. All right, fine. It's okay if the lineage just goes two gays deep." But then this amazing thing happened a few years later, is came out and is amazing and really came into herself in this great way. And I have now gone to both of their weddings, and has an amazing wife and two amazing little boys, and has an amazing wife, and it just feels really, really special that like part of my initial coming out was over time tied to this trio of the three of us who kind of all met in this very heteronormative space and now support each other in our lives. And we were at one of the weddings last year, all dressed in our suits, and we gathered to do the classic Kappa booty drop, which was something that we learned as 18-year-olds, where you do a full body bend and then come up as and slap your booty, and you do it in a line with a bunch of people. So the three of us did that, and it felt iconic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of my fun little pledge family gay lineage that I hold them dear and love them, and I'm proud to be part of that.
Wow, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. I don't think I've heard a story like that before. This is great. I have a lot of questions. Are you
Sure.
ready?
Yeah. And I asked my girls, I said, "Can I talk about us on the pod?" And they said they'd be honored. So
Oh,
thank you
lovely.
to both of them.
Nice. Thank you. Who assigns becoming like the moms, the
Yeah.
grandma, all
So
that
that
stuff.
would be someone called the pledge master or the new member educator. And that someone that year would be me because I liked leadership roles. So I picked. I was pretty instrumental in that. But just based on like one or two 10-minute conversations during the rush process, I was like, she seems really interesting and special and exciting, and I would love to kind of shepherd her through the process. And then I'm not sure how they got matched, but I think they got a little bit closer during like the pledge period as well, and kind of connected. So there was some level of like us picking each other and like requesting each other type thing.
So gay magnetism.
Yeah, hardcore.
I love that. I don't, I'd not heard that term, gay
Oh,
magnetism.
really?
Which is wild given my line of work. And
Yeah.
also,
Does it ring true for you? Like, do you think back on childhood friends or groups that now you're like, oh my God, we're all queer?
a billion percent.
Yeah. It's
Like,
cool.
it's very cool. Like in college, we had this joke because we all like the not all, but so many of us came out. We're like, "It's in the water. Like, come over to our house on
Right.
Chittenden. It's in the water." Friends from high school who I like gravitate for sure. Just it's cool.
Yeah.
Queer people are
Yeah.
magic.
And it's really cool because, those are deep friendships where you made these friendships before, you even, you were telling people about your queerness, or maybe you're aware of it yourself, or all this stuff. And so it's like they're just so grounded in just like us as weird little kids. Before any elements of like romance or liking that person or what does that, that they're just like so pure and I love them.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, this might be a question for, but maybe you know, but like I graduated from Ohio State in 2007, and so I was like in Ohio. It was like the early 2000s, so different than it was still Midwest, but different time and such. And I did come out in college, but I like couldn't imagine before coming out like making out in public,
Yeah, it was
you know what
cool.
it
I was like, oh
yeah
my God, that's bad. And it kind of was badass. Yeah, I think alcohol was involved.
Yeah,
So
I
I don't
mean.
think it was like the plan, but it did cause a ruckus in this bar to the point where people were like came up to me and were like, "Did you know?" And I was like, "What? I'm looking with my eyes. I'm learning right now. This is
Yeah.
amazing. I couldn't be more proud of my daughter."
Right. Wait, so when people were coming up to me like, "Did you know?" Were they saying it with like judgment? Was it more curiosity? 'Cause
Probably curiosity. But that said, it's not like there was anyone in our sorority who was out or, anything like that. So I just think it was all very, obviously years later, I understand there were a lot of people who were gay there, and there were people who were, more actively like out there and than I was, because once I kind of realized myself, I just like shut down and was very scared. Which was part of my story. But overall, it was not, St. Louis was in 2012 was not some kind of like queer haven in any way. I would go back in the years after to visit, and we're friends with people who were out, and it was just amazing because I felt like, the same way the world did, and gay marriage being, legalized and all that, just the shift from like 2012 to 2016, it felt like, wait, everyone's gay here now. Why don't I go here now? It's like, oh, because I live in New York and I've graduated already.
Right.
I was like, but I could come back.
Yeah,
They're like,
absolutely.
but you got your degree, you're done.
There's always a master's degree.
I don't need that. I don't need that.
I don't have one of those either. Something else that stuck out to me with is like the stories you were telling yourselves, like you coming in and being like, "Oh my God, I can't wait to like talk to you about this," and she was terrified, and like I just think it really speaks to just like the assumptions we have about what people think about us, A, and B, how important it is to communicate with each other, because we do just, make up stories, and it drives how we interact with the world.
I'm really thankful for that connection, and it I think it was the first example that I then had many of them over the next couple of years as I came out to close people in my life, which was like this pattern of like huge buildup of anxiety. What will they think? What do all this stuff, like probably what she was feeling that night, which I then felt many, many times after once I was in her position. And I had a lot of really positive interactions with friends and family once I did share, just all this tension kind of melting away and feeling embraced and feeling that much deeper a friendship and closeness with those people in my life.
It's so
But it
great.
took, yeah, I mean, sharing is connecting, sharing is caring.
Yeah, for sure. So were you, and forgive me if you already said this, I think maybe not, but were you all like only out to each other, or were you out to the wider sorority, or like
It was, I would say the like was the only big brave one who was like out her senior year of college. I disappeared and then went to New York, and that's where I had my coming out. And Ariel had a coming out a couple years later. So I didn't experience, I was a little bit like, I'm aware of this and I'm moving to New York next year and I'm looking forward to diving into it all there was kind of what I had my ability to come in. Carpent, that word compartmentalize worked once in my life and it was there.
yeah. What was your like, did you have a game plan for New York? You're like, "All right, I'm gonna go to Ginger's and then I'm gonna go to
Yes,
Cubbyhole."
I had it. Well, yeah, so I was moving to New York and my game plan was to find some queer friends. And I moved to New York and found myself doing the NBC Page program. Where we were like wearing fancy suits every day, and we were giving tours of 30 Rock and stuff. So it was this like dream job, but I also felt like very now I'm wearing a business suit. I couldn't feel less like myself. And then I had this great meeting, or what they used to call an informational, with this really fun gal, Darren, who I'm good friends with today. And she was Andy Cohen's assistant and mentioned that she had a girlfriend. And I literally just paused the, professional side of the meeting and said, "You have a girlfriend? Where do you meet people who want girlfriends? Where are, do you know other people who are interested in that kind of thing?" And she was like, "Are you gay?" And I was like, "I'm not gay. I just want to meet friends." And then she amazingly invited me out that weekend with some of her friends, and the people I met, became really good friends in New York when I was coming out. And we went out in the Village that night, and Cubby Hole, and Monster, and
Yeah,
the
monster.
all the spots. And that kind of really just started putting me into the world and out of my head
Yeah.
and my chest of anxiety.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you just were like, and pause. Tell me everything about gay New York. Can I come be my friend? And that she embraced you. And our queer elders are so important. And
And just she, the way she was like, "Yeah, my girlfriend's coming in," or like just her confidence and her ease about talking about it. I was
yeah.
like, "Oh my God, and I should just hang around you so some of that confidence can rub off on me."
Yeah, that's amazing. So you were hanging out in the village, you made a lot of queer friends. So then once you were kind of like settled into your queer identity, you came out to, your family, etc. In hindsight, looking back, were you like, "Oh yeah, I was so gay." Or like, that was, or like, you had crushes on girls, but you didn't realize it was a crush. Like, were there signs?
Oh, definitely. I don't th again, there wasn't like there was this big conscious knowing. But I think just I think when I think about we know each other through really good friends of mine from summer camp, and I think about that experience, like it was an all girls camp, and just I loved our like so, I mean, so many great friends there, but the way that I kind of like worship some of the older girls or the older counselors, like, just wow, I want to put all my energy into making them laugh. I want to put all my energy into, them giving me, a special t-shirt at the end of camp, like to show that I'm chosen, I'm this, I'm that. But yeah, and I was just, I mean, don't want to say all these things relate, but I was just like, I didn't want to, I would cry when I had to wear dresses to temple or whatever. I just wanted to wear a hat all the time, and at camp didn't want to shower, and I was whatever. But I'm not saying that that's like what all gay people are, but it was just like I didn't want to conform to whatever beauty standards or this or that. So it just feels like this is me, and it has always been me, and feels good to just be really excited and happy with finding, refinding myself in that way, finding myself in this more adult way, and sad for the years that I kind of distanced myself from it and didn't want that part, or tried to, or was like kind of mimicking straight girls around me to, do and feel how they felt.
Yeah. Oof, so relatable. So relatable. I'm just thinking back to like the things of like just like pushing back against norms that aren't necessarily queer coded or, like a diagnostic of queerness, but just like to test the, for me, it was like testing the waters of like, if I do this thing, will my family still love me? If I do this thing, kind of like building up the muscle of like, okay, now when I come out, will they still love me?
Interesting, yeah.
So like I had, and I grew up in like this like really small suburb of Columbus. It's like very upper middle class, white, homogenous, blah blah blah. And so everyone conformed, mo not everyone. The vast majority of people conform to, like, I don't know, Jappy stereotypes and things like that. And I remember I got my eyebrow pierced. And
Cool.
it was like, the world had ended. Like, I
Yeah.
can't believe this person has their eyebrow pierced. And or what have you. And
Yeah.
that was me just testing the waters of like how far can I push the limits?
Do you still have it pierced?
I don't.
Damn it.
I had it done. Okay, this was so funny, or not funny, I don't know. I also had my lip pierced and my nose pierced.
All in high school?
I don't remember. I got my nose pierced senior year. My
Mm-hmm.
eyebrow was for sure in high school too. I'm not sure about the lip.
Okay. Well, very cool. Very badass.
Thank you. And like my parents hated when I did it, so they would pay me to take it out. And I was like, cool money. And then like, X number of, time later, I would get it re-pierced because I was like, you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
But okay, so you're now and you're in New York and you have this like queer community. And
Yeah, it
then
was amazing.
so are you still friends with your New York queers now that you're in LA?
Yeah, what's been a really nice is so now I've been in LA for 5 years, and I was just back in New York last month, and it was really nice. I hit them up on the old text thread from our, last time we all got to hang out together was 2019, 2020 times.
Wow.
And now they all have these amazing partners. One of the friends, her and her wife have a beautiful baby, and we all gathered together and had a brunch. And yeah, it was just updating them on my life and stuff. And nice to just know that I have these great friends in New York.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to go back to you trying to make your counselors laugh.
Sure.
Because you're a comedian, and
Yeah.
do you think that there's like so many queer people are so funny? It's like a defense mechanism, but also like a I want you to like me
Yeah, I
mechanism.
want you to like me. I want to be invited into the room. I want to be talked about when I'm not there as, oh, they're a fun person. They should come around. Like, yeah, it was all just, I want to be noticed and liked and have fun with people and think of me as a person who like brings fun
Yeah.
was kind of the very basic like desire.
For sure. I like upon reflection think that I use like humor and charm, which might be weird to claim for myself, but
Claim it.
I've been told it
Claim it.
also.
Claim it, Charmin.
I was like, look, trans people are cool
Yeah.
too. You know, it's like 'cause they're
Totally. I'm
so
relatable. I'm cool. I'm easy to be around. Yeah. It's
Yeah, and it's
absolutely.
kind of wild, but it's nice to know that it's like a thing. It's not just.
Yeah. And I do think like comedy and queerness have a really fun intersection and it is the broadest, weirdest statement I'll say, but and I could dive
Yeah.
into it, I'm sure, and go to get an MFA and write a whole paper about it.
Yeah, well, I would read it.
Great. I don't know what's in it, but I just know those are two things I love deeply, my queerness and my love for comedy, and I
Yeah.
definitely see them as intertwined.
So let's talk about your comedy. So
Yeah.
you were a page at NBC. You worked on SNL. What was that like?
It was amazing. I was a huge fan of the show and everything and everyone that it kind of represented and made. So being around it was super special and exciting. But at that same time, when I was working there, I was getting involved in like the whole improv Upright Citizens world in New York. And that, I think, is what really, well, I might jump to it, but I want you to ask me your question about your Ring of Key, about the Ring of Key stuff, because it's kind of improv. UCB adjacent in my answer.
Okay, great. So
Okay,
tell me about your Ring of Keys moment.
thank you so much. I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
So I would go to the Chelsea Theater and see all the UCB shows in the 2010s, and I would see these comedians who were queer, and I would see them just like be wild and silly in their characters, but then also be like so comfortable and cool on the back line, and just kind of stare at them on the back line and think about like who they are out in the world. And was like, it's so cool that they, I just like, they're so cool. They're so cool, like at the bar after. It's like almost cooler than what they do as in these improv scenes, just their ability to kind of like be so, show up fully as themselves in these kind of performance spaces. And I think that I would just kind of like watch in awe of that and thought of myself when I did improv in college and how I still always cared about on the back line. Like I almost felt the most self-conscious back there versus being in a scene because I was like, do I look cute? Is my hair okay? Is my shirt too tight? Like I wanted to not, if I was like playing some big gross man in the scene, like I wanted to like look cute when I was like back as me on the back of the stage. And I just watched these people who didn't seem to be thinking about that or caring about that. And I was like, that's so cool, both as how I want to be as a performer and how I want to be in the world.
It's amazing. Are there specific comedians
I was thinking, I was
that
like,
you
I should say specific people. What's funny to me is I feel like this list is like people who are queer, and then I realized later were like women who I was like, they're so cool. Then they're a queer wear, and they're like, they're not queer. They like, so in some ways I like projected all this on different people. So I don't have like a full list, but
That's
like
fine.
at the same time, like everyone.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think just like seeing people be confident and cool and funny,
And I was
it's the best.
22, and these people were 28, 31. Like, what? Oh my God. That's so old. They're so cool.
So old, so cool. They for sure have their shit together.
Yeah. You know, I still follow all these people on Instagram, and you know, who knows what my projections, if they if they're all still valid, but you know, everyone's they all were like absolute heroes to me as I sat in the dark audience.
It's so amazing. And okay, so you write on Ted Lasso,
Yeah.
which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's a dream job. It's a show that I love and a show that my parents and their friends love, and my girlfriend's parents love. So it's, you know, makes being a you know, freelance comedy writer gig to gig feel legitimate. So that feels
Well,
great.
yeah, and I imagine it's something that people are like, come into the room. We want to be with you. Tell us about Ted
Sure. Or
Lasso.
yeah. I mean, the truth is, I think I've like craved that feeling since I was young. And even just and career-wise, it was like this funny thing because it was like, wow, you can weirdly get it if you work on a show with notability. So yeah, when I worked at SNL, people were like, oh my God, you know. And so it's yeah, it's whatever little, you know, ego boost one gets when being associated with a big cool thing. But then it also is lovely when you're like, oh, and I get to see the inner world and I love thing for its real self type thing. But yeah, it's cool. I've actually got to be involved in the show when it was just in like early development. So when I left the Page program and SNL, I started working for Jason Sudeikis, who created Ted Lasso, as his assistant, and did that for a couple of years, and it was a really very, very cool learning experience in my early 20s. And he had just shot the NBC commercials that the show is based on, inspired by. And so him and his pals, the other creators, would get together and kind of figure out what the show could look like, what the pilot would look like. And I got to be the writer's assistant for that process. So that was fun to see something from the kind of that was in 2014, 2015, and now 10 years later, we're on the fourth season of it. So, I liked watching it grow, and being a part of that has been awesome.
That's really awesome. Can you share, like, what's the deal? It was canceled and now it's back.
I don't know if it was ever used the word canceled. It was all pitched as a three season arc, and it was executed like that. And then the door was always open if there were story ideas or Jason and the team wanted to do more, make more. And I'm happy that the answer ended up being that Jason wanted to do more, and that he liked the direction of bringing the show back and focusing on a new women's team that he's coaching. So that was super appealing to me because I like women's sports, and the idea of kind of coming up with a bunch of characters for the team, casting some cool British people to play these characters, as that was like a big part of the process. And yeah, I think also women's sports, the same way I'm like comedy overlaps with queerness, women's sports definitely overlaps with queerness.
Absolutely.
So that is exciting to me, has been exciting to me about some of the storytelling that we can do. And the fact that on most sports teams, if you're just being realistic, a lot of people are dating and a lot of people are queer. And so the fact that that kind of gets to be part of the story is really fun for me.
Okay, good. I was gonna ask if that was the
Yeah,
thing.
I was like, we must lean into this. And he was like,
Okay,
we
good. And you're like, but no, seriously, we
will.
must. That's amazing. I will quickly just for those of you, because not actually all of you cannot see what I'm wearing, but I'm wearing a Ted Lasso Richmond shirt.
Looks great. It looks
Thank you.
beautiful.
I have my Believe little mint
Yes.
thingy on my desk. I also have my scratch pad that says you don't bring an umbrella to a brainstorm.
Wow, you've got them all.
I got a lot
You
of
robbed the
swag.
merch store. I
Yeah,
love it.
when I like something, I go hard.
That's so cool. And when did you find the show? Was it when it first started in 2020 or later?
Yeah, when it first started and just
Cool.
rewatched it so many times because it just felt so good, especially during, COVID and lockdown. And my roommate and I dressed as Ted Lasso one Thanksgiving. Nope, one Halloween. And
What was the duo? A Ted and Beard?
We were both Ted because
Oh, two
we were
Teds.
going to different parties.
Or Ted Lasso and Led Tasso?
Yeah, I guess if anyone had to be led, it would be me, but I was
Oh,
in that moment we were both Ted. But and
cute.
he made biscuits and we put them in little pink, we didn't have
That's
boxes,
so
but
cute.
paper, and we handed them out. We also handed out little army people.
I love that.
It was so we this household
Yeah.
loves Ted Lasso.
That's so cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, so thank you for your service.
It's an honor.
We also love Tim Robinson, and I
Yeah.
was thrilled to find out that you wrote on Detroiters,
I
which,
did not write on
oh,
Detroiters.
you didn't.
Jason,
Oh,
well,
my.
I worked, so basically Jason was the executive producer of it.
Okay.
And so when I was in my, I was on set a bunch for season one and two, which was great, working with Jason. So I was on the production side. But
Got it.
then if you watch the show and make yourself all the way to season, make it to season two, I actually get to show up as the girlfriend of Leah, who is their assistant in the show. So you might recognize this face from
Oh.
one and a half scenes. It's fun because
Amazing.
people, it's so tiny, and it's the first like acting on TV thing I ever got to do, and it was really, really cool. But because people really like found Tim maybe a couple years later when I Think You Should Leave came out, everyone watches that show and then goes back and watches Detroiters. And then I get a really lovely text from all these great people who I haven't talked to in years with a picture of me on their TV, frozen, going, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm a
That's
star. You didn't know."
okay,
So that is my other claim to fame.
that's amazing. Yeah, that's how we me and my roommate watch I Think You Should Leave, and then went back and have we haven't gotten through Detroiters. We
Oh, so that you did not recognize me. You will
No.
recognize me.
I
Okay,
will for
good. I
sure,
was
and I'll
like,
say
wow, this is embarrassing for you.
no.
But
Yeah, totally. Yeah, how lame of me. No, I will take a picture of Frozen
Okay, and
screen
send it to
and
me,
send it to
please.
you. Yeah, I bought a. You do you know the website Celebrities on Sandwiches?
Yeah. Do you have one of Tim?
I do, in hot dog
Cool.
suit.
Oh, yes, that's perfect. Yeah, I love those drawings. They're so good.
They're so good. And Tim is so silly.
Yeah.
So silly.
Yeah, great, really great, lovely guy. I like him a lot, and he's really, really funny.
I love to know that, funny people, celebrity people are also nice.
Yes, yeah, he's so nice. And then Sam in the show too, also so nice.
Sam, so funny.
Yeah.
Also a Ted Lasso guy.
Yeah, exactly. He's had a really fun role. I think
Yeah.
he won an Emmy last year for the last season for it.
I think so,
Yeah.
because I remember him and Tim like celebrating
Won
with
the
their
same
Emmys.
year. Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, they're a
That's
great
amazing.
duo.
That's really fun. We don't have to keep talking about specific sketches, but the one that keeps popping up is the like baby,
Contest, the baby beauty contest or whatever that Sam hosts. That's so funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so silly, so funny. They all boo the babies. It's so
That's a
silly.
really fun show to rewatch. And I have not gotten to watch the first episode of The Chair Company yet,
Yeah, I
Tim's
haven't seen
new
it yet
show,
either.
but I will very soon and I'm excited.
Have you seen Friendship?
Yeah, of course.
I
That
haven't
was
seen it
fun.
yet.
Oh, I got to go in the theaters. It was a fun experience.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
definitely
amazing.
watch it.
I not only love Tim Robinson, but I'm also obsessed with Paul Rudd. And so it's like the perfect movie
Yeah.
for me. My next tattoo, it's like being designed right now, is Paul Rudd's senior picture.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Where's he? Where did he go to high school?
I have no idea.
Amazing.
But
Wow.
yeah,
I
I
love
put it.
that specific. That's amazing.
Because I was like, what? How can I honor Paul Rudd? And I was like, I'm gonna get his face. And then I was like, it was either like a silly face from Wet Hot.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking you were gonna do, like him
Yeah.
throwing the
The
tray on
slate.
the ground. Yeah, Wet Hot's
Yeah,
my
the
favorite
tray.
movie, so I think that would be a cool tattoo, something from there. But
Yeah.
I think the senior picture, no one else has that.
No one else has it. I've done extensive
Just
research.
double checking,
No one
yeah.
has it. Yeah.
Good.
So yeah, stay tuned. And then I also saw that you wrote and starred in a show called Lady Liberty.
Yeah, so this was kind of my other idea of what story to tell, but kind of I made that friend group. I was working with Jason and basically had the realization that I was doing sketch and improv and all the things. I really wanted to make something like tangible and something, I don't know. So I wrote a pilot slash short film that basically was like for myself to star in. That was a coming out and coming of age comedy. And writing it as a 26-year-old, it was just almost a way to like finally write about what I actually felt and not just make silly fart sketches, but embrace dramedy and questioning and fear and identity and all that. So I wrote this thing, and then it ended up being kind of like the first good thing I ever actually wrote, it felt like, because friends were like excited to share it with other friends. So a friend of mine shared it with a really talented director, this girl Taylor. And Taylor and I worked to kind of make it a real thing. And then we decided to make it. And so I got to like star in it. And then we got the money, and all the locations basically were like all my West Village haunts. And I played a young comedian who hadn't really come out to anyone yet, but had a secret girlfriend that she was getting broken up with, and then also wanted to be a big time comedian, but was also working for a big time comedian, who Jason ended up playing the part of my like boss, who I was desperately wanting attention from. And
That's fun.
it was just kind of a fun, almost like real life type of someone was like, "Was that a documentary?" And I was like, "No, it was scripted, and I play a version of myself." Anyway, but we had a lot of success, and we premiered it at Tribeca, and it was kind of the first like big, positive feedback I was getting, and got a manager off of that, and then kind of was like, "Okay, I can do this. I want to write. I want to create." And yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence. And in a lot of ways, besides like the people who I was in my immediate network, I shared it online. I had all these like friends from the past and family friends and people I had never actually had my like coming out conversation to. And they came to this screening, and it's like how they learned I was gay, which was this fun, powerful piece of content that kind of like told this story, not in a jokey way, but in like a grounded, authentic way. So yeah, and that's comedy, but also just cr like creating things and content. So it felt like that was another one of my coming outs that I like, I'm really proud of myself now that I'm older. I'm like, that's cool, I did that. I'm glad I have that as a momentum of my younger years.
Yeah, that's so nice. Wow, can we, is it still available to
Yes,
watch?
I'm gonna work on getting it back out there. It was up on a streaming service for a while, and then we just like ended the deal with them, so we need to find a new home for it. But yeah, I will let you know once Lady
Yeah.
Liberty is back out there. And the
Yeah.
idea and the dream was always to like make a full show about kind of following the coming out, and I liked that term, the like coming out and coming of age. Of early 20s and finding that friend group and dating and family and identity and, what happens after the coming out and how does one become like a confident queer person and find themselves and all that. So we have shows like that. We got those shows, but I was like, can I sell my show? And the answer was no, but one day I'll be
Yet.
older and I'll make it and I'll find some young person who's probably like 5 years old now and they will be my star.
Yeah. Well, it took, what, Ted Lasso a lot of
Yeah,
years to get. Yeah, it
everything
takes
takes
time.
many years, but I still think that's a show that I would love to, it's a story I would still love to tell because it's just life. When and someone and the big headline of someone's life who's queer is, how does queerness fit into all the other parts of their life and the people that they're with and the job that they have and all the things.
Yeah, and something you said reminded me of like the Thank You for Coming Out improv show, and of just like the groundedness of, well, at least for Thank You for Coming Out, it was the queerness wasn't the joke, it was the magic of the scene. And
Oh,
like,
cool. Yeah.
yeah, and so it was like, because everybody was queer, that wasn't the joke. Like, the joke was something else.
Yeah.
Whereas, and so it did feel very grounding and very safe. Whereas, in any other kind of improv situation, there'd be like the token queer
Yeah.
on the team and then would become the butt of the joke or, in
Right,
general.
which is the true, also true of any like TV show. And it's like, and here's the one queer character, and they are, jokes or this or that. And it's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Like the tropes and all that
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah. So
Sure.
that's amazing that, you got to kind of con even though it wasn't a documentary,
It was not.
you got to control the narrative
Oh,
and
definitely. Yeah.
yeah, and kind of, I don't know, use your experiences to make art, which is kind of the dream. It is the
Yeah,
dream.
and there's a big theme in it of kind of being like a gay bee, and being like, I'm new to this. And that scene that I talked about, or just the thing that happened in life where I came out to this or asked this girl, can I have your friends, basically.
Yeah.
I created a version of that where there's this character And people ended up, you know, that was kind of people's favorite scene of like me in an Uber pool and meeting this girl who just seems so effortlessly cool and mentions that she's going to meet up with her girlfriend and all this. And I'm just like, well, where do people go who have girlfriend, you know? And then she invites me out. So it's very like, you know, just taking these things that actually happen and how do I dramatize it and make it a fun adventure to watch on screen. But yeah, I think I've always loved, and she calls me a Gaby, and there's this very like mentor mentee relationship, which maybe circles back to you know the my initial story about my pledge family and the way we kind of had these roles and then they would flip and support each other and all that and friendship, mentorship, love, all of it.
All the ships.
All the ships that sail.
Yeah, that's so cool. I had one more question about Ted Lasso, and I forgot to ask it while we
Yeah.
were talking about it, but just we had to wait a long time for queer characters.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if it was like, had there been criticism that there were no queer characters and so they was written in, or was it like kind of throughout, it's like we kind of know, but we don't know how to bring it in? Like, what was the deal?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I mentioned like I was around for the development and then I ended up joining back on in season three and then was just on four. So I was not actually on the show in season one and two. But all I know, so I don't know anything about, you know, specifically that element, but I do know that when season three started and I was there, you know, Jason was ready to go with like and Colin, this is his story, this season. So to me, it felt very like it had been part of it all, or this was his plan, or any of those. But that was my kind of my only understanding. And
Wow.
I was like, amazing, great, let's do it. But yeah, I wasn't part of those earlier ones. And what I can say about being part of season four is I feel like all that, you know, if we just had that one little bit in you know, those three seasons, season four, we'll get plenty more. And there's not just one new, you know, queer person. There's queerness feels like it is of the world, which I love.
That's great. And it feels like it's like authentic to actual women's
Yeah.
sports.
Yeah. And to ignore it would be not authentic. And so that was never, you know, part of the plan or anything. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun embracing it.
Cool. Cannot wait for it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I'm gonna hate to do this, but I do need to move us into our lightning round
Let's do it.
of questions. You're a longtime listener, so you know the deal, but just in case. It's meant to be for fun and just answer as quickly as you can. They are not like regular lightning round questions because they are open-ended, because I was called out for being too binary. So
Okay.
they are 1 degree a little bit harder to answer. But again, it's just for fun. Are you ready? Okay. Favorite place to think?
By a lake, specifically the lake by my summer camp in Maine.
Nice. A song that you can listen to on repeat forever.
Follow Me by Uncle Cracker.
That's a good one. And wild. Okay, what's one thing you want to be known for?
Being nice.
What does identity euphoria feel like to you?
Wearing shorts and wearing a hat.
Where do you find joy?
With the really good people in my life.
Okay, that's sweet. And the last question is a either or question because I could not cut it and there are no right or wrong answers. Bagels or donuts?
Bagels.
New York do.
Yes.
You got it right, even though there's no right or wrong.
Thank
Julia, this has been such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for sharing and thank you for coming out.
you for having me and for making this podcast and all that is the thank you for coming out conglomerate.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.